Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in another week of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad you're with us, and of course, a big week for IU basketball, a really tough week ahead for IU basketball at Duke on Tuesday. We all know about that game and the challenge that Duke will pose for Indiana. Indiana still shorthanded with the number of injuries. I know fans early in the season excited after some of the wins, excited after the Marquette win and the competitive loss, 1-point loss on the road at Arkansas. You wanted to go into Duke with your full roster as close to possible and see where you stack up against one of the best teams in college basketball, at least to start the season. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like that will be the case Tuesday night. Now, no official update on who's in, who's out, who's available, who's not, who potentially could make a return to the court at Cameron Indoor Stadium, and who won't. But nonetheless, Indiana is not at full strength. They do not have the depth that we talked about that could be a huge asset for this team moving through some of the big games in the conference part of their schedule. But IU's at Duke, and it's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a challenge. No matter what type of team you have, how healthy your team is, how you've played so far this season, to go to Duke to play in Cameron Indoor Stadium against a team with the firepower that Duke has is going to be a tough challenge. There's no question about that. But it's going to be fun to talk about. It's going to be fun to watch, and we're going to do all kinds of stuff to get you ready for the Duke game and to get you ready for the big week. Because after the Duke game on Tuesday, after that, IU jumps into Big Ten Conference play on Saturday. They open the season, start the month of December, December 1, with an afternoon matchup against Northwestern at Assembly Hall. And then, of course, a road game next week, a week from this coming Tuesday at Penn State. Then they jump back out of non-conference play for a number of games before they get to the first of the year and restart Big Ten play. But some interesting times ahead for Indiana, and I really think they're going to be okay if they can get everybody healthy. That's going to be a key. One other thing, and we're going to talk a lot about the Duke game, and we're going to do this occasionally throughout the season. There's obviously been an uptick in IU interest this year. It's always great, but with Romeo there, with the team having some potential to do some stuff, we feel like later in the year, before some of the big games, we're going to have some extra preview coverage and extra preview material. And our first one of those games that we've selected to do some additional programming with is the Duke game on Tuesday night. So at 7 o'clock, I'll be live here on the Big X. Of course, I'll be live tomorrow with my normal show at 11 o'clock. The Hoosier Report will come back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock with a special preview edition of the Hoosier Report for the IU-Duke game. That show will run from 7 to 8:30, and then at 8:30 we'll leave and send you to Cameron Indoor Stadium for the IU Network pregame show with Don Fisher and crew. So basically tomorrow night for the IU-Duke game, you've got me for an hour and a half before the game. You've got the normal pregame. You've got Don Fisher with the call of the game. Afterwards, you've got Assembly Call with a postgame wrap-up show, an evening full of IU basketball, basically about 7 till midnight, 7 till 12:30 or so. We're going to have you covered with wall-to-wall IU coverage. And we'll do some other special stuff, some pregame stuff, before some of the other big games coming up a little bit later in the year in the conference season as well. So we want to make sure that we're your leader when it comes to IU material right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Let's get into the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us on this Monday program in segment one, I've got our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. In our headlines today, we'll take a look at IU Duke. We'll take a look at a couple IU things. We'll also recap the first weekend of high school basketball. You had some big wins from local teams on Saturday. And we always give out our hypothetical game balls on Monday to kind of recognize some of the big performances in high school sports, specifically high school basketball. Now that that season is up on us, we'll do that in our headlines today as well. And then later in the show, we've got Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He'll be with us in segment two. We'll get ready for IU Duke. We'll talk about some of the injuries. And, of course, we have to find some time to talk about IU-Purdue football. The Hoosiers, just a very, very disappointing finish to the season. A lot of people thought Indiana would win that game. IU had been competitive at Michigan. They had been figuring some things out, it looked, and they come up short against Purdue, who had been struggling a bit with a couple losses and one bad loss at Minnesota, a double overtime loss against Wisconsin, both heading into the game against Indiana, but Purdue able to right the ship at least enough to beat Indiana. And that makes the situation with Jeff Brohm even more interesting. I know a lot of IU fans say, I don't want to hear any more about Jeff Brohm. I don't want to hear any more about Purdue. But it really does affect the future of IU football and the recruiting in the state. I think Jeff Brohm is really good at that. And if he's not at Purdue, if he's at Louisville, it's probably a lot better off for IU football moving forward. But Purdue's in a bowl game now. Does Jeff Brohm take that Louisville job? Does he do it sooner or later, or does he not do it at all? It's going to be really interesting to see how that works out as well. So Zach Osterman with us in a bit. Later in the program, Chad Gilbert, he's the athletic director at Charlestown High School and an IHSAA executive board member. He'll join us to talk through some local headlines here in Southern Indiana as we do each Monday. That's a look at the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and you'll receive $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Obviously, it's just a tough week because at Duke is tough for many reasons. Opening the Big Ten Conference is always tough, and injuries make it tough for IU as well, but they were able to survive last week with a win against UT Arlington, who was very pesky. They were able to come back shorthanded on Friday against UC Davis, a team that IU just overlooked. They were not very good on paper. They've not had a very good season so far. They're a one-win team, and Indiana couldn't get past them until really the final minutes of that game. Were they able to take the lead and put a little space between the Hoosiers and UC Davis on Friday night? But it was gear up week for the Duke game. It was gear up week for the two game start to the Big Ten Conference, and IU, despite being shorthanded, found a way to survive, and that's what it's all about. It wasn't pretty, it wasn't fun, it didn't carry the momentum that the Marquette and the Arkansas game, even in a loss that week, carried for IU basketball, but IU found a way to play some ugly ball to get it done, and now they move on to their biggest challenge of the season, no question about it. High school basketball over the weekend, probably the biggest win of the weekend. Floyd Central goes to Lawrence North in Indianapolis, and Lawrence North is always one of those schools that has some players. They're always competitive in the ever-competitive Indianapolis scene of basketball. Floyd Central goes to Lawrence North. They trail by 5 points coming in to the final period, and they go on to win 58-56. Floyd Central now 2-0. They've got some really tough games coming up as well, but early on, it looks like Floyd Central going to be the team to beat in Southern Indiana basketball. A great win on the road. We want to hand out a couple game balls from that game. Kobe Barnes, senior, Indiana State signee. No surprise here. He goes for 21 points, getting a chance to play in Central Indiana. Todd Sturgeon, very candid with us on our program a week or so ago, wanted to get him to Central Indiana to play in front of other people, other voters for the Indiana All-Star team, and show that, hey, Yeah, he can put big numbers up here in southern Indiana, but he can do the same when he comes to Indianapolis. And Kobe makes that true with 21 points on Saturday afternoon. Also, I mentioned this as well last week, gearing up for the season, Jake Heidbreder, just a sophomore at Floyd Central. Got to give him one of our game balls as well. 21 points, just a sophomore, playing some big-time basketball for Floyd Central early in the season. And it looks like Barnes and Heidbreder will be the 1-2 punch that Floyd Central will look to knock a lot of people out with here in this high school basketball season. But great performances from them. Floyd Central as a team, a great win, especially early in the season, as now they move on to some competitive games forthcoming as well. And don't forget New Albany and Floyd Central, that game coming up, we're less than 2 weeks from that game. It is going to be a dandy at the doghouse. Should be a sellout crowd. Lots of fun with that. Also, over the weekend, New Albany, in their own regard, had a big win. They defeated Bloomington South by a score of 49-42. Bloomington South, obviously a perennial power in high school basketball. Local fans got a chance to see Anthony Leal of the South team that is being recruited by IU and a number of Big Ten schools. And New Albany gets the win without Julian Hunter, who is still recovering, did not have the 10 practices in required to participate in a game. So now he'll have those in for New Albany's next game coming up this weekend at Evansville-Harrison. Derek Stevenson, he gets a game ball from that contest. He scored 13 points to lead a fairly balanced New Albany attack. And a couple things that stood out to me was, number one, the balance of New Albany's offense. A number of players scoring, no one above 13 points. Derek Stevenson, the senior that is expected to lead the way this season. But in addition to the starters, in addition to Stevenson, two freshmen came in and played lots of minutes and were able to hit some big shots and help down the stretch in that game. And you don't always see freshmen that are ready to come in, maybe against a lower-level opponent or a smaller school opponent. They can come in and kind of get acclimated with things. But Caden Stanton and Tucker Bivin, both freshmen, came in right out of the gate and helped this New Albany team. Tucker Bivin was inserted as the sixth man with Julian out. He hit a three-pointer, his first shot of the game, his only basket of the game. Caden Stanton, 8 points in the game. Neither freshman had turnovers, so they will aid the New Albany lineup, the New Albany cause this year as well. Again, a very balanced performance and a great crowd. I said leading into the game that a nice picture of Romeo Langford unveiled at the doghouse Saturday in his Mr. Basketball Indiana All-Star uniform, his high school jersey, his McDonald jersey, kind of a Romeo Langford display, rightfully so, there on the walls of the gymnasium. But the crowd, despite Romeo, despite the lack of, you know, lost some key players, was tremendous. And I think and I hope that crowds, not just at the New Albany games, as we've talked about, but because of the excitement that exists right now in high school basketball, and people maybe that came back out for a New Albany game or for the New Albany Floyd Central sectional championship game that enjoyed it, will stay out and continue to come to games because it's the best $5 entertainment that you can find on the weekend. But a great crowd on Saturday night as well. One other game ball we want to hand out. New Washington got a win 60-46 over Madison Shaw. Shaw is now coached by former Jeffersonville player, former Jeffersonville coach, former IU player Sharon Wilkerson, and Bo Giltner led them with 18 points. We give him one of our hypothetical game balls today, and we'll do this each Monday as we recap high school basketball and some of the top performers coming out of the weekend each Monday here on the show. One final headline, the IBCA coaches poll is out for this week. It always comes out on Sunday night. It's voted on by the head coaches in the state of Indiana. Floyd Central enters the top 10. They are now number 8 overall. It's not a class poll. Everybody lumped in together. The Highlanders number 8 after that big win at Lawrence North over the weekend. New Albany bumps up to number 13. Jeffersonville, who won Wednesday night against Evansville Day. They are up to number 14. Silver Creek receiving a number of votes in that poll as well. So you've got four teams from our immediate area right here within miles of each other getting statewide recognition from high school basketball coaches that vote in that poll. So going to be a fun year for high school basketball. We'll keep you covered from all angles right here on the Hoosier Report and the Big X Sports Radio. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. Don't forget Tuesday night, 7 to 8:30, a special edition of the Hoosier Report to get you ready for the IU-Duke game. And, of course, the IU network coverage begins at 8:30 Tuesday night. Lots of IU coverage coming your way here on the Big X Sports Radio. We'll talk IU football and IU basketball with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back here on this Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. We're joined by Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He's the IU insider for the Star, and he's with us on Mondays to help kickstart the week as we talk IU basketball. And today we're going to start with IU football. Zach, no more football for the Hoosiers. They go down to Purdue in the bucket game on Saturday and come up short. Indiana had been playing some pretty doggone good football and figuring some things out the last couple weeks of the season, even though that win or that game at Michigan obviously didn't translate into a victory. So I think there were a lot of people that were hopeful Indiana would be able to knock out Purdue in the game on Saturday, would be able to stay alive for a bowl game, get back to a bowl game this season, but that wasn't the case.
Yeah, and a lot of, I don't want to say the worst of Indiana, like it was a disaster of a season, but I think a lot of what ultimately we're going to remember held this Indiana team back from getting to a bowl, from maybe, you know, lodging one of those signature wins or even beating a 5-6 Purdue team to take the bucket back. You know, defensive breakdowns and mental mistakes at inopportune times, a roughing the passer penalty that extends a drive, an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty that I think at very least costs Indiana some really prime field position on offense. You know, I think Indiana enters Purdue territory seven times and only scores three of those times, doesn't get inside the 20, the other four, doesn't even get inside, I don't believe, the 25, you know, on any of those other four drives. We saw, again, some untimely penalties that killed drives, some play calling that either via, you know, just the rhythm of the play calling or the execution of the plays that were called really kind of didn't fit and threw Indiana out of rhythm. And so you wound up with another one of these, you know, kind of stunted and just very, very out of rhythm performances, frankly, that you could point to Purdue, but you could also point to Michigan State. You could point to Iowa. You could point to, you know, portions of Penn State, you know, portions of Rutgers, certainly the second half at Rutgers, and just say maybe ultimately, you know, those mistakes were more as, and those shortcomings were as representative as anything of what this team was in the end.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us. I was reading a story just before we came on earlier where you write about five areas that IU football must improve for next season. Obviously, if you want to read that, you can go to indystar.com/sports. You can read that, all of Zach's great coverage of IU sports and some football recap stuff. But maybe tease that for us a little bit? With, and some of those things are going to be obvious areas of improvement for this football program, but maybe the one that sticks out to you the most that Coach Allen and the crew need to get on top of for this program to make it back to a bowl game?
Well, I think the biggest one is probably getting things right offensively again. And the defensive regression, I mean, the story you mentioned is just sort of meant to be a post-mortem, kind of looking back at the season, what went right, obviously in this case, more of what went wrong. And I still will contend as somebody who doesn't have to reach very, very far back into his memory to remember a time when a 5-7 season probably would have been greeted in Bloomington as something of a positive, as something to build on, particularly when you consider how young this team was. And we've talked about that before, and I've had people tell me, well, youth can't be an excuse. You can see it as an excuse if you want. You can see it as a reason if you want. The reality is this team was young, and it was young for a number of reasons, some injuries, some recruiting misses, sometimes when, frankly, probably this staff chose to go young, for lack of a better term. And so you can trace the youth of this team back to a number of different sources. But the reality is young teams make mistakes. Young teams have mental errors. Young teams don't have the experience and the instinct and the repetition to draw from to just be as consistent and reliable. And when you're at a place like Indiana where you're not maybe dealing with just a baseline talent level of an Ohio State or a Michigan, sometimes that youth is going to hit you. And again, if you want to see that as an excuse, that's fine. I don't care. That's not my problem. The reality is I can't change the age of some of these guys and the years in school and the years they have on a college football field. So I think that when you look at that youth, some of this defensive regression, maybe not, I don't know if I really expected Indiana to go from 27th nationally to 85th, I think maybe even 89th. Nationally in yards per game allowed. But the real issues to me lay on offense, where I saw a lot of times, including, frankly, Saturday, where if Indiana has a more capable offense, a more consistent offense, and certainly a more explosive offense, its defense was still putting it in positions to be able to take control of the game. Using Purdue as just one example, Indiana actually outrushes, I believe, outpasses and complete and in all yardage outgains Purdue in that game. In terms of raw numbers, Indiana arguably has a better day offensively. But what Indiana doesn't have is a day where it's consistent enough or explosive enough to ever really take control of the game away from Purdue. And I think that the biggest thing that to me needs to change this offseason is whether it's via some sort of staffing change, and it's not my place to sit here and advocate for that. That's not in my job description, but whether it's via some sort of staffing change or it's via a reimagining of the way that the players Indiana's already got on its roster and then obviously the ones coming in will be deployed, Indiana's got to find a way to get more explosive offensively, to finish drives, be just a little bit cleaner, and really more what it is, and this probably comes back to the consistency, is it's not like Indiana was just committing 15 penalties a game. It was the timing of a lot of those penalties, that how many drives did we see get to the opponent 40 or the opponent 30, and there's a hold. Saturday there was a really critical chop block that cut off a drive that looked really, really promising kind of in the middle part of the game when you would argue that sort of control of that game was still up for grabs, and Indiana has to basically sacrifice a drive. I think they got down somewhere inside the Purdue 40, and then all of a sudden it's second and 25 because of the chop block. So I know that that's a very generic answer in some way. I know there are probably some IU fans that listen to that and say, well, yeah, no kidding. But I don't think Indiana needs to be the explosive record-setting outfit that it was at times under Kevin Wilson. But it's got to be more consistent, and it's got to be more dangerous. You think about Rondale Moore as an example. Rondale Moore only has a handful of touches in that game, but it's the explosive potential that always has you worried and always has you kind of looking over your shoulder, wondering where he is. And Indiana just, despite having a lot of really good individual pieces on offense this year, never really found that consistently, and they need to find that as well in the offseason.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. One more football question, because I want to cover some ground in basketball as well in this segment. But Jeff Brohm at Purdue, and he's a name here in Southern Indiana that has come up over and over through the years, whether it was when he was playing, when he was coaching at Louisville, other places where he had success like Western Kentucky. Now he's having success at Purdue. He's doing it with Rondale Moore, who is a New Albany kid. So you hear his name a lot. He's well connected, well thought of in this area. I wonder if another off-season thing that IU has no control over is if it isn't best for Indiana football if he takes the Louisville job. And I think we're going to find out something on that here in the coming days, potentially. But he recruits the area well. He's got some momentum. It wasn't just a dominating season for Purdue. They had struggles of their own. In fact, leading up to the IU game, I think that's why a lot of people maybe picked Indiana to win. Purdue had plenty of struggles on the gridiron. But he's recruited well. He beat Ohio State. He's got some momentum. In-state recruiting is something that's important for the Hoosiers' well-being and for them to get the David Bells, maybe not David himself, but in the future. And they've done pretty well recruiting the state in general. But with Jeff Brohm's presence in West Lafayette, I think that's a real hindrance to the Hoosiers as far as recruiting and just exposure and maybe who is the best football program between Indiana and Purdue. Don't you agree that his departure to another conference out of state could benefit IU football's well-being for the future?
Yeah, I know. I mean, listen, I on the one hand, you would always say that a football program needs to worry about itself first. And you know, can't – if you're letting another coach, another program, your rival, the rest of your division, whatever it may be, you know, live rent free in your head, then you're setting yourself back three steps before the race has even begun, if that makes sense. That said, yeah, I mean, Indiana's already got a steep enough hill to climb in the Big Ten East, having to face Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State every season, and I admittedly don't have, you know, a bunch of scientific numbers that I can crack out and give you a look at these years and these runs and all this, but there's actually only two states in the country that aren't Texas, California, and Florida that have more than two Power Five conference jobs, Power Five conference football programs within their borders. One's North Carolina and the other one's Indiana. And obviously Notre Dame sort of exists on its own plane. You know, it's in the far northern part of the state. It's always had more of a national brand. It's a little bit different from Indiana and Purdue. But I do think that there's something to the idea that, especially in a state that produces some good college football talent, but certainly you wouldn't say the depth of college football talent of an Ohio, of an SEC state, of, you know, a California, even – look at some of the prep school areas and you know, the on the East Coast. I think there's something to the idea that it's hard for Purdue and Indiana to both sustain success at the same time. Now, I'm not saying that if Jeff Brohm leaves Purdue, they're just automatically going to, you know, regress back to the mean again. But I also think that Jeff Brohm is one of the best young or youngish coaches. I think he's in his 40s, so I don't want to make him sound like, you know, he's younger than me. But one of the best young coaches in college football right now. And the longer that he's at Purdue, the more of a profile he builds, to your point, the more recruiting routes he sinks down. And just generally speaking, the more he becomes, his program becomes kind of this, you know, this grows this influence. When you're Indiana and you're already having to bash against this glass ceiling in the Big Ten East every single year, throwing Purdue on top of that, you know, in your own state, knowing you have to face him every season, that's a lot to ask. And I think that I don't necessarily think that Indiana needs Purdue to stink to get momentum back, to get its mojo back, but I don't think it would hurt them at all if Purdue had to go back to the drawing board a little bit. because Jeff Brohm left. Now, you know, I have absolutely no idea if he's going to Louisville or not. I certainly get the sense that Purdue isn't his last stop just based on how good of a coach I think he is. And we may be talking about Jeff Brohm, if not Louisville, then, you know, maybe somewhere else in the next year or two as bigger jobs open up. But I think while Indiana certainly can't be sitting there, you know, every day, and I don't think they are, thinking, oh, my gosh, we're just counting the days till Brohm finally leaves. By the same token, I think if you're IU, I don't think you'd shed any tears, you know, if Purdue did have to deal with a change in that position.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, our guest with us Mondays here on the show. Good stuff on IU football. More on that as they close out the season, get into the recruiting hot and heavy now that no bowl game for the Hoosiers here in 2018. Some basketball stuff, injuries and Duke. Not a good combination for Tuesday night.
No, it's not. And obviously a Duke team that's going to come back with a little bit of disappointment, probably a point to prove after Maui losing the championship game out there to Gonzaga. You know, I mean, this is – at the same time, I think if you're Archie Miller, and this is kind of what Archie said last season, both before Indiana played Duke at home and then after Indiana played Duke at home, you know, you've got to embrace these moments, because the reality is it's not even one of those where, you know, somebody asked Romeo Langford if he came to Indiana to play programs like Duke and playing games like Duke, and he said, well, his answer was I don't think that the Duke game was on the schedule when I committed, and I don't think it was. I don't think it had been announced. But you understood the wider sentiment, which is if you come to Indiana, you are kind of accepting a tacit responsibility to be ready for moments like this and to be ready to not just be an Indiana basketball player against UC Davis or Penn State or, you know, Marquette at home, but to go on the road, know that there's going to be a big target on your chest because you're at Duke. Duke knows it's Indiana. Duke knows it's Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford. Duke knows what it has on the floor, and so its crowd, its students are going to be rowdy and firing. You've got to be ready for that. And I think, look, I in some respects, this is probably a free hit for Indiana. You know, if they go there and win, it's obviously amazing and unexpected. If they go there and do anything except basically get absolutely blown off the floor, you look at it and say, well, this is a young team that, as you said, has been dealing with some injuries and some depth issues early on in the season here. There's no real shame in not being able to get more out of this trip at this point in the year. I do think Indiana's, it seems to me like Devontae Green and Zach McRoberts will be back for this game. They warmed up for UC Davis, although Archie Miller said pregame they weren't available to play in that game, but it seems like if they're warming up and dressed out, they're closer to a return. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them on the floor Tuesday night in Durham. But I think, if nothing else, to me, I'm really interested in getting a look at how this Indiana team, as young as it still is and inexperienced in some ways as it still is, handles that moment and that stage, because this is the toughest road game they're going to have to play all year in all likelihood. But at the same time, what does maybe this tell us about how they'd handle having to go to Michigan and play a tough Michigan team in what might be a pivotal Big Ten race game? What about going to Purdue? You know, what about just going on the road to a lot of different places in the Big Ten? What about being ready for March? And I think this is an early look at just how some of these guys that we haven't seen them maybe have to, you know, reach for the intangible side a little bit yet. How do they handle this? And does it tell us something about the way that we can expect them to handle big games in January, February, March?
Zach, I want to bounce back to last week for just a second. The game, because we haven't had a chance to really recap the game that was played on Friday, since this is our first day back on the air. But UC Davis had won one game, had been a struggling team, I think is a fair description of them coming into Assembly Hall. And Indiana, I know they had lots of injuries and lots of guys out and lots of guys that weren't at 100%, but Indiana really didn't take the lead until late in the game. They were able to put a little space between them and UC Davis to close the game and go on for the victory. But that was some tense moments, some scary moments there for a stretch of that game, even into the second half for Indiana. I'm curious, outside of injuries and just not having the depth and all the guys that you'd like to have available to play, what were some of your concerns and thoughts on that kind of a struggling win for IU?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a great one. There's no question about that. And I think in some ways you look at the game before that, UT Arlington, which actually ends not the same score, but the same margin of victory, 14 points. And you sort of wave that off and say Indiana was just so lacking in depth, and a thousand things went right for UT Arlington just to keep that game competitive, and they still lost by 14 points. The UC Davis game probably did ring a couple more alarm bells. I think it was, in some ways, probably good for this team to have to see that of itself and have to see, you know, here's what happens. I mean, there were moments when it kind of took on a little bit of the feel of like Indiana State or Fort Wayne. You know, UC Davis hits 10 of 20 threes. A.J. John, who I think was something like 5 of 27 from behind the arc coming into that game, goes 4 of 9. There were a couple points where you just felt like everything was falling for the Aggies, and Indiana just couldn't get any stops. And last year when that happened, Indiana just kind of rolled over. I mean, they did. I don't think that's harsh to say that. It was interesting to see this team work its way through that same sort of situation against the UC Davis team that doesn't have, I know you're right, they were 1-5, now they're 1-6. So let's not make them out to be, you know, 85 Villanova or whatever. But that was a 2018 conference championship team that returned a fair amount from last season and just hadn't really started very well, but is probably still going to wind up positioned to compete in the I think they're in the Big West. So it's not like you were playing just a team of, you know, dogs. You were playing a good team that had just kind of struggled to start the year at its level. And it was interesting to see Indiana have to kind of work through that and figure out where to go when things weren't working out well, figure out how to get back to some basics, how to get Juwan Morgan more involved, how to get Romeo Langford more involved, how to lean on both of those guys as kind of the formula for winning a game like that. And I think that's the kind of game that we'll only know precisely what it means when we see Indiana go through similar games against better teams, if that makes sense. So Northwestern comes into Assembly Hall this Saturday for the first of those two Big Ten December games. What if Indiana winds up in a similar situation where you imagine that's a game that Indiana is going to be favored in? Northwestern isn't quite what it's been the last couple of years because of some some attrition to graduation. As you look at the KenPom profile, I think KenPom has Indiana winning that game by 7 with a 75% chance of victory. Well, what if Northwestern's up 2 with 5.5 minutes to go? And does Indiana draw on a UC Davis or a UT Arlington and say, no, this is how we fix this and get through? Do they go through a similar thing at Penn State next week? And again, they're able to draw on that experience and say, this is how we win a game when we're playing kind of ugly and things aren't going all our way. Or do we look back at a UC Davis and say, that actually exposed some things about this team that some better opponents took advantage of down the road? I think it definitely raised some questions. Archie Miller, I don't think, seemed too perturbed with it, though I imagine he'll be more pointed in film study and things like that. And Indiana very much is a team that needs to get fresh and healthy again. There's no question about that. But I think we only know the full impact, positive or negative, of a game like UC Davis a couple months down the road, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Zach, always great stuff, very well thought out stuff. Appreciate your insight and your coverage, and we'll do it again next Monday.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, kind enough to help get the week going with lots of recap information on IU football season ending with a loss to Purdue, and of course IU basketball with a couple big challenges coming up here this week, starting with Duke and then getting into Big Ten conference play. That's hard to believe, but second year that that's happened where there's a long weekend or a 4 or 5 day period where you've got two Big Ten games, and then you get back into non-conference play before the Big Ten schedule continues. Don't forget, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, we've got a special pregame edition of the Hoosier Report. We'll take an in-depth look at the IU-Duke matchups and some other things surrounding that game. You know, Romeo Langford has a lot of history with some of those key freshmen, especially Zion Williamson, on that Duke team. We'll take a look at that as well on Tuesday night. But special programming, we'll be doing that before some of the big IU games coming up this season, and hope that you'll join us not only for our regular show on Tuesday, but for that special pregame coverage as well. A quick commercial break, and we're back real quick with Chad Gilbert of the Charlestown High School Athletic Director, IHSA Executive Board member. We'll talk through some Southern Indiana sports headlines after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back for this final segment on our Monday program. Chad Gilbert, he's Charlestown's athletic director and the IHSA executive board member, is with us Mondays. We talk through Southern Indiana sports headlines. And, Chad, it's hard to not I know Indiana fans are a little concerned that the Hoosiers are maybe injured and not going in near full strength, but it's hard to not be excited if you're a player, a fan, someone that covers the team, to see Indiana go into an environment like Cameron Indoor Stadium. Assembly Hall is great. It ranks up there really, really high. I've never been to Cameron Indoor. I've heard reports from people that have, and it sounds like equally a special place. Not near as big as Assembly Hall, but you talk about tradition and just a different way of doing things, no question. It's one of the great places, one of the great programs, Coach K, one of the greats in college basketball.
Matt, I have never been in Cameron either, but it seems like on TV they're on top of you. So this game, you know, with Duke coming off a loss, Indiana kind of beat up, it's going to be a tough game for the Hoosiers. And the Cameron Indoor will be rocking, and with the type of athletes that Duke is throwing at the Hoosiers, it's going to be a tough battle. You know, what gets me in Duke is how many dunks do they have a game? I mean, they just dunk the ball. It seems like every possession down the court, it's either a dunk or hit a three. So it's going to be a tough game for anybody to go in Cameron, much less a beat-up Indiana team. But, you know, it's an experience of a lifetime. This is something that the Hoosiers will be able to draw back on when they go in a hostile environment in the Big Ten, and hopefully it'll prepare them for that Big Ten rugged schedule.
Chad, you know, you've played, you've been around the game for many years. And in Romeo Friday night, it wasn't a banner game for IU in any regard, but Romeo still got some pretty decent stats. Still led the team in some categories, and a number of people, including some that were at the game, said he just didn't look himself. As far as, you know, he's really not a terribly emotional player, but he still just didn't look himself. Well, he's battling some sort of nose injury. I don't think it's broken. We think he would have had a mask on, one of those full facial type masks that you see often used when that injury happens. But when you get cracked in the nose and you get cracked the way that he did and bleed and were in pain the way that he was earlier in the week, that's one of those nagging injuries that you can still play, you can still run up and down the floor, you know, you're still who you are on the court, but it's something tough to fight through. It really, when you talk about a nagging injury, it's one of those injuries that can be painful, it can throb, it can affect probably your mental state more than anything, but it's with you with everything that you do, and I'm sure that might be part of any different reactions or lack of reactions or whatever it was that made people think, you know, this isn't the Romeo Langford I'm used to seeing.
Well, you know, Matt, you're talking to the right guy about nose injuries. I've had 4 or 5 broken noses playing. You know, before you know, you knew me. You know, I had total reconstructive nose surgery, rhinoplasty on the whole deal. And broken noses are no joke. And with Romeo's deal, you know, I'm not sure Romeo has had an injury like that. You know, he's been injured and been popped. But anytime you're popped right in the nose, it seemed to me like he was bleeding on the outside, that he got cut on the bridge of the nose as well. So he took a shot. And, you know, to come back off of that, it takes a little bit of time, because what that does is you can't sleep right. You can't breathe right. You know, you're adjusting. Your equilibrium is a little bit off. So that's something that he's going to have to work with. Now, will he be ready and be back? Absolutely. You know, he'll be adjusted to that as it goes along, because that nose is going to get better, and then his body is going to adjust to it. So that's something that probably threw him off a little bit Friday. But, you know, an off game for Romeo is a career high for anybody else. So he's a competitor. He'll bounce back, and that's something that competitors do.
Opening weekend of high school basketball. Some big wins. I talked about them earlier in the show. Floyd Central at Lawrence North. That's a big one early in the year. New Albany beats Bloomington South without Julian Hunter. Jeff was victorious earlier in the week. So was Silver Creek. And some good games coming up as well. But that first weekend, sometime that first game is a special one. And great to see that it's back. Great to see some good crowds out at some of these Thanksgiving week games. And I think we have lots to be excited for when we look at some of these future matchups that are just around the corner.
You know, lots of basketball. Like you said, it's back. Our Pirates up here, we beat rivals New Washington, a boy-girl doubleheader, had a great crowd. We have a big test this week. We've got the Dragons of Silver Creek coming in tomorrow, and we play at Scottsburg on Friday. So those will be interesting tests for us. Jeff had a big win over Evansville Day. They come back this weekend at 3A Powerhouse Bossy. Watch that game. That will be an exciting game in Evansville. You know, like you said, Floyd with their big wins over Christian Academy. And at Lawrence North, Kobe Barnes had an excellent game up there. You know, he's going for his All-Star candidate this year. And then Jake Highbreeder coming in. You know, his dad played at Hanover with Hank Whedon and Benner and those guys. So to see him play and him come along, his dad was a good player, and so you know there's no doubt he's going to be a good player. But Floyd Central, their JV team was strong last year. And, you know, make no mistake about that, they've reloaded. But when you talk about Floyd Central a little bit with Coach Sturgeon, you got to think one that we'll talk about next week as we get ready for the New Albany game is their assistant coach, Ryan Miller. You don't want to talk about outstanding, who coached with Lou at Providence. Those guys continue to get better and continue to improve with that. They're playing Clarksville this week with head coach Brian McEwen, and he will have those guys ready as they get ready for the New Albany game. And then New Albany, of course, with a big win over Bloomington South without Hunter. South's still trying to find himself. You know, with the loss of Coyle and King, Bomba there, you know, those were hard-nosed kids. They're still trying to find themselves, but they'll be there when it's all said and done. But New Albany goes to Harrison for a matchup. You know, a lot of talent in Evansville, but they're getting prepared for that Floyd Central game next week as well. So a lot of great basketball, Matt.
Yeah, we're ahead of just some really great games. And the season gets started. You want it to be here so bad. It finally gets here, and after one or two games, you're ready for some big matchups. We forget how quickly, you know, you get to that third week where you've got New Albany, Floyd Central, and you've got some other big ones that are coming as well. So going to be a fun season to track it all, but some good performances early on. Floyd Central, a big win early on. New Albany, a big win early on. And now we'll see how things play out over the next week or so. But I think that New Albany-Floyd Central game has the possibility to be absolutely a super contest, very competitive. Should be another great crowd. And I was talking to Joe Luce over the weekend as well about his team, and I think one of the great things is New Albany Floyd, then you've got Floyd Jeff, then you've got New Albany Jeff, and then you've got them all hooking back up potentially in some form or fashion in the Seymour Sectional in late February, early March. I think whatever happens the first time could be different than what happens the second time, but I think that all of those matchups have the potential be very, very competitive. A lot of even teams, a lot of teams that, yeah, you got this person back or you're strong here, but you're weak here and you lost this guy. So a lot of interesting things to follow, but we've got some really good games ahead, Chad.
Oh, it's going to be a fun season. Like you said, those matchups loom. And the season as a coach, the season goes by quick. But you're making notes of what you're going to do next time when you run across those guys in the Floyd Central. And you talk about mental notes. Don't think that New Albany does not remember that game at Floyd Central last year. They will come out firing in all cylinders next weekend for an outstanding game at the Doghouse. It'll be a super crowd, super atmosphere, and a super game.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSAA Executive Board Member. Chad, thanks for the chat. Always fun to get the week started with you. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks for the run, Matt. Appreciate everything you do for Southern Indiana.
Thank you very much. And again, that's going to wrap things up. We're back tomorrow at 11 a.m. We're back tomorrow night as well for a special 7 o'clock pregame edition of the Hoosier Report right here on the Big X Sports Radio.